Good morning. Welcome to the Chapel of the Transfiguration, the ministry of St. John's Episcopal Church in Jackson. Welcome. So glad to have all of you here with us today, especially such a large gathering of Boy Scouts. So glad they all are here. Thank you for being here today. Everything you need is in your service bulletin, and we'll begin there shortly. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Mighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Together. Glory
to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you. We give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. And the glory of God, Father.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Keep, O Lord, the household of your church in your steadfast faith and love, that through your grace we may proclaim your truth with boldness and minister your justice with compassion. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for our readings.
A reading from 1 Samuel. Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death, but Samuel grieved over Saul. And the Lord was sorry that he had made Saul king over Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now recite Psalm 20 responsively by half verse. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble.
In the name of the Lord, Jacob defend you.
Send you help from his holy place.
And strengthen you out of Zion.
Remember all your offerings.
And accept your sacrifice.
Grant your heart's desire.
And prosper with all your plans.
We will shout for joy at your victory and triumph in the name of our God.
May the Lord grant all your requests.
Now I know that the Lord gives victory to his anointed.
He will answer him out of his holy heaven
with the victorious strength of his right hand.
Some put their trust in chariots and some in horses.
But we will call upon the name of the Lord our God.
They collapse and fall down.
But we will rise and stand upright.
O Lord, give victory to the king.
And answer us when we call.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore all have died, and he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, again, welcome. It's so great to have all of you here this morning. My name's Eric, and I have the privilege of being here with you all this morning. My wife and I are the chaplains for this month of June. Today, we're met with Jesus teaching in parables, something Jesus does quite often. In fact, we're rare to find him when he's not teaching in a particular form through these parables. Jesus uses parables to get some very specific points across. Now, parables are short stories that communicate a particular religious or moral teaching. They're brief tales that communicate universal truths. Now, they're not like fables or legends in that they're true, but they're also not like nonfiction narrative in that they're not always entirely factual. Parables are a kind of extended metaphor, which is one way, and perhaps the best way, for us to begin to try to grasp the wonder that is God within the limits of our human language. And today's parables are about that. They're about the amazingness of God and God's kingdom, to which you and I belong. So today we hear two of Jesus' parables about seeds and the ultimate potential that they represent. And in the first one, someone just scatters some seed on the ground, and without any further work, it grows. The sower doesn't even know how it happens, only that it does. When we as Christians scatter the word of God, it will also sprout and grow. We don't have to know how this happens, only that God will use whatever seeds that we scatter to grow God's kingdom. My favorite singer-songwriter is a man named Glenn Phillips. He was the lead singer of a band, is the lead singer of a band called Toe the Wet Sprocket. He's got a song called Everything Matters, and one of the lines from that song is, "Every word is a seed that you scatter, but there is nothing that doesn't matter. Everything matters. Every word is a seed that you scatter." You see, you and I are called by God to share with other people the good news of God in Christ, even if only through scattering simple seeds. And we do this by sharing encouraging words with other people, by listening and comforting those in trouble or sorrow. And we can scatter these seeds by inviting friends, neighbors, and even strangers to join us in worshiping God and studying. The important action that each of us take is that we be intentional about scattering these seeds. At some moment in my life when I was growing up, some adult told me not to blow on a dandelion head and scatter those seeds because it would inevitably make our yard work more difficult. But perhaps you all remember the joy of blowing on a dandelion head and watching those seeds with seeming little parachutes float through the air. I've noticed driving through Jackson the last few weeks that the air is thick with dandelion seeds blowing everywhere. And I especially remember when our daughter was about 3 years old, every opportunity she had to find a little dandelion head, she would pick it up, she would breathe in deeply, and with glee would blow out and blow those seeds so that they could too and become dandelions of their own. So I hope that we, who maybe are a little older now, maybe we will forget that warning not to scatter those seeds and thus make yard work more difficult, but that we would reclaim the sense of joy of scattering God's seeds of love, joy, justice, and peace. Now, the second parable about seeds we hear from Jesus today is about the mustard seed. And this parable is certainly about potential. The mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds, and when fully mature, can grow into a bush so large that it can become a home for birds. Now, don't let this imagery pass you by. The potential that each one of us has is incredible. We have potential both as scatterers of the seeds and as seeds ourselves. We have the capacity within us to grow in our faith and Christian faith and action to the point where other people can find their rest and homes within us. So according to Jesus, the mustard seed grows into the greatest of shrubs. And this tiny seed is a force to be reckoned with. In fact, one of my clergy colleagues talks about the mustard seed in terms of kudzu. Now, some of you from the South, those of you from Charlotte, know what kudzu is. The mustard seed is like the kudzu of the Middle East. It's everywhere. You don't want it. It's everywhere. You can't get rid of it. It takes over everything else. So think about the potential that those little seeds have. The truth of the fact of the mustard seed is, even though it's so small, sharing it can have influence that's so great. We can't even imagine. Now, over the course of Jesus' 3-year public ministry, there's going to be great crowds, and there's going to be utter isolation. There's going to be shouts of joy, and there's going to be mocking jeers. Moments of profound impact, and times where it seems as though the whole world is rebelling against Jesus and his message. But ultimately, the kingdom of God will have its influence. It will make a difference. It will flourish beyond imagining. So when we have our moments of doubt, we can recall that tiny mustard seed and know that God's plan is much larger than any frustration that we might be facing. When you and I make the effort to plant a seed of hope, no matter how small it is, that seed has the hidden potential to grow into something great. Now, there's countless email forwards and stories and songs about this very thing, but one of my favorites is called the Paperclip Project. Beginning in 1998, a group of middle school students in rural Tennessee decided to collect one paperclip for every victim of the Holocaust. So they wrote letters, they gave presentations, and they successfully collected 11 million paperclips that are still displayed in a memorial monument in their school. One simple idea, one seed, if you will, changed the lives of those students, their parents, their teachers, the town, and many hearts across the world. And so if a class of middle school students can have such a profound impact, I wonder what each one of us might accomplish with the seed of an idea, with the seed of love, the seed of faith. From these two parables, we hear of the potential of seeds. One of the challenges, those of you who have gardened know, is that you can never really be sure which seed you plant will be the one that grows into its fullest potential. The Christian faith is a lot like that as well, which is why we are called to scatter seeds by the handful, to be generous with our planting of kind words, encouragement, prayers, sharing the good news of Christ, support, and love. Each one of us is given the opportunity to scatter the seeds of God's love everywhere we go. So my prayer for each one of us this week is that God would grant us the opportunity to plant those seeds of hope, of friendship, forgiveness, encouragement, and peace. That we would share the gifts that God has given to us. So scatter boldly, my friends. Amen.
Amen. Amen.